Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Three Alaskans are appealing a deal reached between Carnival Corporation and federal prosecutors after the world's largest cruise company admitted violating its felony probation. The Miami-based cruise giant admitted to illegally discharging wastewater, plastics, and other material, and then trying to cover it up. One of its violations included gray water discharge last year in Glacier Bay National Park. Three Alaskans claimed harm from Carnival's pollution under the Federal Crime Victims' Rights Act, but the district court judge denied the motion.
If the commercial fishermen who are actually on the water harvesting resources from the very waters that Carnival is polluting aren't injured, nobody is injured.
Eric Forer is a retired fisherman in Juneau.
It turns out that you can't find anybody who was injured. It's a victimless crime, which is, you know, clearly not the case.
The settlement includes expanded court-ordered monitoring and a $20 million penalty in addition to the $40 million the company has already paid.
That sounds like a lot of money to normal people, but for a multi-billion dollar international corporation, it cannot even be characterized as a slap on the wrist.
That's Kendra Ulrich with the environmental group Stand Earth, which is coordinating the appeal. Carnival says protecting the environment is a top company priority. The company noted in a statement that it was hiring a chief compliance officer to oversee its nine subsidiaries, including Holland America, Princess Cruise Lines, and Cunard. The appeals court is expected to rule later this week. A former Arizona lawmaker convicted in the shooting death of a man at a remote cabin site in Excursion Inlet in 2016 has been sentenced to 65 years in prison with 20 years suspended. Mark DeSimone showed little expression as he was sentenced today. He was convicted last year of first-degree murder in the death of Julio Antonio Tony Rosales during a hunting and fishing trip. Rosales' widow on Monday pleaded with DeSimone for answers. During a statement, he later apologized and said he took full responsibility. He said that something being an accident does not preclude fault. At trial, DeSimone's attorney had not disputed he fatally shot Rosales, but argued it was an accident. DeSimone resigned from the Arizona House in 2008 after being arrested in a domestic dispute with his then-wife. The Alaska Supreme Court says the state's sex offender registry violates offenders' due process rights. The court, in a 3-2 decision, says the registry provides no means for offenders to demonstrate that they're not a threat to public safety. Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports the decision means offenders must be given an opportunity to prove they are rehabilitated. The case involves a man convicted of sexual battery in Virginia. The man moved to Alaska in January 2003. His 2016 lawsuit claimed the state had no authority to require him to register in Alaska and that the Alaska law violated his due process rights. Justices in the majority opinion say requiring a person convicted elsewhere to register is legal, but offenders should be allowed to prove they no longer pose a public risk. Authorities are on the lookout for a dead gray whale spotted over the weekend by a wrangle man near his community's back channel. Jason Beatty was reported sport fishing Saturday morning when he sighted the floating carcass. He took a photo and sent it to NOAA Fisheries the following Monday. NOAA spokeswoman Julie Spiegel says the agency is calling on volunteers to help locate the dead mammal.
And hopefully we'll be able to get it towed to shore and secured so that we can do a necropsy later this week.
More than 150 dead gray whales have been reported from Mexico to Alaska. This weekend's sighting could be the eighth confirmed in Alaska waters. NOAA has declared an unusual mortality event and is investigating the causes. Spiegel says there are a lot of theories.
One theory has to do with their food source because a lot of these whales that we have found dead have been skinny. But at this point, we really don't know exactly why they are dying.
NOAA operates a hotline to report injured or stranded marine mammals in Alaska. That number is 877-925-7773. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute officials say they're collaborating with a university that is studying how the DNA of indigenous people might have been affected by trauma linked to European colonization. Researchers from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign will be at the Juneau-based Institute next week for the project focusing on Tlingit people with ties to Huna. Another research trip to Huna is planned for later this year. Institute officials say researchers anticipate recruiting 50 volunteers to give blood samples and take a survey. Participants will receive $50 Amazon gift cards. Officials say individual information by participants will be anonymous. Officials say the Institute is consulting on the effort with the Huna Indian Association and the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. Army officials are investigating the death of a soldier over the weekend during a field training exercise near Fort Wainwright. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
A U.S. Army news release issued Monday says 25-year-old Specialist Marquise Elliott died Saturday of injuries he sustained when he lost control of a Humvee he was driving in the Yukon training area east of Fairbanks. USARAC spokesman John Pinnell says the heavily armored Humvee was part of a convoy moving through the range at about 3 p.m. Saturday during the Red Flag training exercises that began last week.
The convoy that they were traveling in was halted while they were getting Marquise transported back to Fairbanks Memorial.
Pinnell says Elliott was treated by medics at the site before being transported by helicopter to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, where he was declared dead. He says a soldier riding along in the Humvee was treated for minor injuries and released at the site.
That particular area in the vehicle will be investigated as part of the safety investigation by the Army Combat Readiness Center.
Pinnell says the soldiers were assigned to the 2nd Battalion, 377th Parachute Field Artillery Regiment out of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. He says the unit has completed its part of the training exercise and will return to J-Bear.
We're just kind of in a state of shock right now and looking to do everything that we can for the soldiers' family and friends so that they can move on, get through this.
Elliott is the second Alaska-based soldier killed this year during training exercises held in the interior. The first was 20-year-old Specialist Nicholas DeMona, who died March 30th of a gunshot wound he sustained during a live fire exercise in the Donnelly training area south of Fort Greely. DeMona was assigned to the Fort Wainwright-based 4th Infantry Brigade combat team. Pinnell says an Army investigation into that incident is continuing. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
A South Central school district has lost 86 staff members and administrators so far this year due to resignation, redundancy, or retirement. Homer News reported Thursday that the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District said the employee loss through June 13th is the highest in the years the district has tracked the data. An official says 24 of those 86 have served in the district for 15 years or more, 16 have served for 20 years or more. The official says an average of 72 teachers resigned or retired from the district annually for the last 4 years. The district's Board of Education approved contracts for 62 non-tenured teachers May 16th, but 9 non-tenured teachers could not be retained due to budget constraints. The school district oversees more than 40 schools. ConocoPhillips is picking up another potential oil development on the western North Slope. The company announced today it's buying 21,000 acres from Kalis Natural Resources, which includes the Nuna oil discovery. Kalis had delayed Nuna's development. In 2014, its CEO told the Alaska Journal of Commerce that he expected oil to begin flowing in 2016. But the small private oil company ran into challenges after oil prices plunged. Kalis also held off more exploratory drilling at the large offshore oil discovery it announced in 2016 called Smith Bay. State documents show Nuna was previously estimated to contain between 75 and 100 million barrels of oil, but Conoco says it will spend the next few years doing its own appraisal of the field before it decides to move forward with the project. Conoco is the biggest player west of Prudhoe Bay, and the oil company has several other major projects in the works. Nuna's close proximity to the Kuparuk oil field, which Conoco operates, is why the acquisition makes sense, says Conoco spokesperson Natalie Lohman. Conoco can use infrastructure from Kuparuk to develop the field. Lohman declined to disclose the terms of the deal. Juneau's Eagle Crest Ski Area wants to expand its summer offerings to capitalize on the big crowds that visit the capital city on cruise ships. The Juneau Empire reports Eagle Crest representatives presented the idea last week to a Juneau Assembly committee whose members were open to the concept. Ski Area General Manager Dave Scanlon says the desired additions would include a rope-suspended aerial obstacle course, a gravity-assisted mountain roller coaster, an expanded zip line, and additional mountain bike trails. The matter did not need assembly action. Scanlon says he wanted to be transparent about a potentially large development, says he hopes to return with a more definite plan in the fall. In the meantime, he wants to gauge the public's reception to the idea. Finally, Oregon is on the precipice of becoming the second state after California to adopt a cap-and-trade program, a market-based approach to lowering the greenhouse gas emissions behind global warming. Supporters call it the United States' most progressive climate policy. They say it not only cuts emissions, but invests in transitioning the state economy and infrastructure to better prepare for more intense weather events as climate change worsens. Under a cap-and-trade program, the state puts an overall limit on emissions and auctions off pollution permits or allowances for each ton of carbon industries plan to emit. Only the largest polluters are targeted. The state aims to reduce emissions to 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. Detractors complain that Oregon's program offers concessions to nearly every industry to dampen the potential financial impact. And taking a look at weather, current conditions at Juneau International Airport, 56 degrees, light rain. Weather tonight, rain showers, lows around 50, southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. I'm Jeremy Shea, and that's it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, June 17th, 2019.